Welcome back to Jump Scare. I'm Betty.
And I'm Chad.
And this is another one of our holiday horror picks. We're trying to stay PC, so we're not going to say Christmas or Yule or
other things. You said Yule last time, so.
I did say Yule and Christmas. I did. We celebrate all the holidays. All of them. We love all of them.
It's fine. We don't have to worry about it.
We chose another, I would say this is actually for a fairly newer movie, way newer than our last film, but Anna and the Apocalypse.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house. Not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Young Anna was nestled, all snug in her bed. Not knowing tomorrow, she'd meet the undead. How would she survive? What this season would bring? Well, that's simple. She'd stab, she'd slash, and she'd sing.
Justin Bieber's a zombie.
So Shad asked me after the movie, do you think that we should do another movie? Because you think you're going to have a lot to say about this movie? And I was like, no. So this is a 2-for-1 because we are going to talk about Anna and the Apocalypse. And then we're going to talk about another movie, which will have its own introduction later. What did you think about this film? You probably could tell from the trailer. Spoiler alert, it's a musical. In case you didn't already know, we actually had the opportunity to see this film during Popcorn Frights 2 years ago. And unfortunately, we were not able to make that night for this film. But we did hear fantastic things about it. And, you know, it has a strong rating. And a lot of people really love this movie.
Yeah, I am guessing that's the perfect storm of people who are into musicals and into horror movies. And when I say into musicals, they're into every musical. Like, they know lines from The Sound of Music and can quote The Music Man at you and that kind of thing. But to me, I don't know. I watched it and was like, if you took the music out, no one would have talked about this movie because it would be exactly the same as every other zombie movie you've ever seen.
Well, that's what makes it special, that there isn't any other zombie musical or horror musical per se. So this one kind of, that's what makes it stand out. It is very High School Musical. I do not care for when people break out into song in mid-sentence, and also when they're like in different parts of, you know, whatever environment they happen to be in, a school, a park, but they're all singing the same song, but they don't know they're singing the same song. I hate it.
Everyone just spontaneously learns to dance the same dance somehow.
You know.
Like, I love that where they're all, like, just walking along, somebody breaks out into song, and then everyone does a perfectly choreographed dance routine without any practice.
Now, this film, I have to say, has two writers, one being Alan MacDonald, and I wanted to save Ryan McHenry's name for last because he passed away in 2015, and he actually was a Vine star, if any of you, and this is probably why, another reason why it's popular, if any of you were a fan of his, he was gonna try to feed, like, Ryan Gosling cereal, Have you ever seen
Oh, yeah.
So he is the creator of that series where they show Ryan Gosling in different films or whatever, and he's like taking, you know, the cereal with
trying to get him and putting it in his mouth,
and every time he's about to, he turns away. And Ryan Gosling himself finally, he like did a tribute to McHenry and ate a bowl of cereal, like a lot, like on camera. So he's like, I really like cereal, but, you know, in tribute to McHenry. So I think that's why a lot of people, you know, love the film too, because he had a huge following, and unfortunately, you know, he passed away. But you know, the songs are good, the pacing was fine, the kills were fantastic. I love the Christmas kills, you know, and it's an overseas movie, so it was just one of those things, like they're all running around. I think if this was American, I probably would have just completely turned it off maybe like 5 minutes in. I think part of the reason why I fully watched it, not that it's a bad movie, I don't want to go out and say, oh, this is the worst movie I've ever seen. It's not. It's just not my kind of movie. It's not something that I particularly care for. And I love me a musical. I don't know. It was just kind of predictable. And, you know, the only two people, I mean, spoiler alert, everyone basically dies in the film. So, you know, it's a zombie film. You don't expect, it's a pretty bleak outlook to the whole zombie thing. I mean, it always is going to be, but there's no connection to any of the characters. It's like everyone has their bullshit teenage drama and then
they're dead.
So, yeah.
Yeah, like you said, the kills are really good. There's a lot of good scenes where they come up with some inventive ways to kill off zombies. But then the zombies, when they're killing people, are just kind of the same old, you know, bite. I wish they'd done something different. Like, maybe the zombies sang. Maybe they sang some kind of, like, off, sang the same song repeatedly as they were coming after them. That would have been kind of funny.
That would have been a Josh Whedon fucking long-lost Buffy episode.
Yeah, all the zombies are singing, like, I Will Survive as they come at them. Just randomly thought of that one.
That would be pretty hilarious.
But yeah, I thought it would have been a little funnier if the zombies actually did some kind of musical thing.
There's no explanation to why this started. It's not that kind of a movie. It's not going to be like it's an evil corporation trying out a new drug. It's not going to be, you know, someone, you know, there's a vat of some like weird, you know, government chemicals somewhere and it got spilled, you know, in a graveyard. Like, you're not going to get of like how these people became per se. You kind of do, because you're like, oh, there's a virus going around. But they don't really get into it.
Yeah, that's kind of a thing in all the zombie movies. They never really, I don't think in any zombie movie really ever definitively explain what it is that causes the outbreak. It was like The Walking Dead, in the whole history of the comic, while it was running, they never said what caused it. The shows never said it. Like, even Night of the Living Dead, they made mention like, oh, maybe it was this satellite that crashed and brought something back to Earth. But then Day of the Dead and Dawn of the Dead, they all just kind of went, yeah, it happened. So it must be a thing, like, that for some reason no one wants to explain the origin of the zombie virus.
They explained it in Night of the Comet.
Yeah, but they weren't technically zombies then. They were all just diseased people that were about to die.
I don't know. The guy, the homeless guy in the alley right at the beginning, he seemed kind of zombie-ish.
Yeah, but he was still alive. He was still eating people.
Was he still alive? Because I took his face being all messed up that he was dead. I think we have two different interpretations of this film, and now I'm very intrigued to watch
which... He was a homeless guy in L.A. in the 80s. He may have just looked that way. He might not have had anything, you know, like the comet didn't do that. That's just his everyday way he rolled out of bed. Or, I'm sorry, rolled out of the garbage can. He suffered from Oscar Grouch syndrome. Wow.
So I give this movie 2.5 knives.
Yeah, I mean, it's not my favorite, but it's well made. It looks good. There's some good kills in it. It's just not really my thing. I was kind of like, this had been a fun video. if it was like a 5 minute long video where it was just a zombie apocalypse happening and they had a song set to it, it would have been amazing.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I hate to, you know, I hate to be like, wah, the movie. But it just wasn't for me. I could totally see it being for someone else, and I'm happy that they have that movie for them, because it's not the musical part, because I love Grease. I love, you know, I'm not a huge Sound of Music because it's a sad ass movie, but I like, you know, Mary Poppins. Like, I can do singing in a movie. It just depends on how the singing begins. And, you know, just, and then it's also like a lot of teenage drama. So that kind of is like, stop your whining. I mean, I guess some of them have some actual, you know, real problems. Well,
what I can see with this is that this would be a pretty good live show.
Yes.
If you went to see this, like a theater production of this, it'd be pretty entertaining.
Yeah, it would be entertaining as a live show. I agree.
Yeah, as a movie, it's just okay. But if you did this as a live show, like, hey, we're going to go see Anne and the Apocalypse, the musical, down at the theater, local theater, it'd be pretty entertaining. Where you had, you know, the gore effects going on and all that. That'd be pretty good. But as a movie, it's just okay.
Yeah, I, you know, 2.5 to 3 stars. For a holiday film, oh, sorry, Knives. Ha ha ha. For a holiday film, it's, I give it 3.2 Knives for a holiday film. Can I do that? There's not a lot of holiday modern horror movies. And the ones from the past are all like crazy guys that are like disgruntled, dressing up like Santa, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's one of those. Now, our next film, if you want to call it that, that we saw is called, I forgot the name of it because I fucking hate it so bad.
It's called A Nasty Piece of Work.
And it was a nasty piece of work.
I just wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas.
I'm giving a dinner at the house. Just a few folks from the firm. I'd like you to be there. Ring up your wife and see if she'd care to join us.
It could be arranged for one employee to receive a Christmas bonus this year. Two candidates, one enviable new role. One of you will become expendable.
I was hoping there'd be games tonight.
You're up for this rather unorthodox job interview?
This is wrong on so many levels.
We have got our eye on you.
Oh, ho, ho!
Stop it! Stop it! Get away from him!
Wow!
So, yet again, we have been... Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't talk for us. I have been totally disappointed in the Abrams, you know, is it Abrams? I'm sorry.
It's not J.J. Abrams.
I'm sorry. I'm sharing my hate for two things at the same, different times at the same time. Blumhouse has not done a good job with
it. It's their series called Into the Dark, where every month they go through a different holiday for that month and try to do a horror movie about it. And we've been kind of, we've watched a lot of them. We haven't seen all of them. We watched a lot of them. But so far, none of them have been great.
We've watched the first season, if we have to say that. You know, the first set of seasons, like holidays, which were all last year. Because now they're, like, going over.
Yeah.
Like, they're rebooting them again. They're doing more.
Yeah, they'll do more. It'll just be a second season, another year of it.
This is really the second year, the one they're in now. Like, I don't care for it at all. Just, it's really bad. Apparently, this series is so terrible in my eyes. I thought that I already, like, endured one whole year of it, but unfortunately, no. We're still within the same year.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of feel like, I have to laugh so bad.
I kind of feel like the problem with these is they try to stretch them out too far. These would all be pretty good, like, 30 to 45 minute stories, and they try to stretch them all out into like 80 or 90 minutes, and there's just that, not that much story with most of them. Especially the one like where the people were trapped in an elevator. Like, I don't care what you do, it's hard to keep up any kind of interest with just two people in an elevator for 90 minutes. And they kept him in that elevator a long time in that one. And this one was the same thing. It's kind of a setup like, was the other one that was out a few years ago, Cheap Thrills, or that Would You Rather, where it's Julian Sands, who I love, and is usually, I mean, he's not always in great things, but he's always pretty good in stuff that he's in. He invites two people from his firm, which you're not really sure what they're doing at this firm, just the firm. He invites them back to his house for Christmas and gives them the speech of, you know, I have a promotion for one of you and the other one is going to be out on the street. So what are you willing to do to get this job? And he keeps doing increasingly creepy, weird things with them to try and get them to, you know, see who's going to step up and get this job. And like I said, if they condensed it a little bit, it would be much better. Like, this would be a good, like, 40-minute Tales from the Crypt. But when you stretch it out to 80 minutes, there's just a lot of filler. And I can't tell you how many times I said during this movie, I would have left a long time ago. Like, things needed to happen faster, you know? Because when the guy has, like, there's, like, three different uncomfortable things happen, and you could leave at any time, why are you still there? You know?
I don't know. The other thing it had going for it, it had Ted from one of my favorite shows, Schitt's Creek, Dustin Milligan. He is one of the people who work at the firm, and it was good seeing him on screen again.
A different person than...
Yeah, he's a jerk and a self-absorbed rich asshole in this one. So he's not the nice, friendly, you know, lovable Ted veterinarian. So you get to see, like, a different side of him, which was cool. Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's all right. We're recording this late at night. But yeah, like I said, I think all of these would just work better if they were shorter. You know, more is not always better. Like, I think, just like with the Tales from the Crypt, one of my favorite one of those is the one with the ventriloquist dummy with Don Rickles and Bobcat Goldthwait.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great one. Yeah, that makes a great, like, 25 minutes short, but you could not get a whole movie out of that.
No, this definitely didn't need to be a movie. None of them do. It was very predictable. Very predictable. And it was boring. I did not find it entertaining whatsoever. And it was just like, oh, okay, you know, it's going to be this person is going to be the winner. So essentially they're trying to find, like, the new high position that's going to be in the company, and they, you know, have to fight it out or be the most clever or be whatever the fuck they're looking for out of the two guys. But you see in the movie, though, spoiler alert, did they say whoever is they're looking at whoever, or they specifically say these two dudes? Because in the end, it's no holds, you know, bar, and it's everyone is on the table to have this job, including the wives. So I think that somewhere along the way, it was mentioned, like, at first it was like they were divided, the guys, obviously they were going to invite their wives. But once they got in there, they still, as they were fucking with the guys, they were also fucking with the girls, but, like, in different ways.
Yeah, they were trying to just mess with them, I think, to just try and keep the husbands off balance. And, like, they just went too far with this stuff, too. Like, I could have bought that they were fucking with them for the one night. Like, you know, that Cheap Thrills and that Would You Rather, they called him there for one night, and they fucked with him, and things went very bad. But in this one, you see a part where you find out they've been fucking with the one guy for over 3 years on something. So you're telling me they started this game 3 years ago going, let's just pick this random guy at the firm and just start fucking with him for no reason. Even when he's not really trying for promotion or anything, they spent 3 years setting up this one night. That's a little much, you know? And it just got to the point where you're like, this is so far unbelievable. Like I said, if it had just been the one night, like, I don't know if you ever saw that Cheap Thrills.
No.
It's got the guy that played, what's his name, David Koechner, that plays Todd Packer in The Office. Mm-hmm. Him and his wife just meet up with some people at a bar. And he starts it off very slowly with, like, I'll give you $50 to throw a drink in that guy's face over there. And it just escalates from there.
Yeah.
And the same thing with, you saw that, Would You Rather? Mm-hmm. They get him in there. They kind of start off slow, like, hey, you know, you haven't eaten meat in 20 years. I'll give you $500 to eat this steak. And it, you can see in those how they get sucked into it at first, you know? But the very first thing, spoiler if you don't want to get this one ruined, one of the first things that happens is Julian Sands just picks up a rifle and blows his wife's head off. And then, haha, funny, it was just a trick. It was all with, you know, prosthetics and, you know, they all did it just like a movie, you know, it was all special effects.
But yeah, but the whole thing, I mean, they were all like, it was part of the trials to get, like, to see who was going to be on their feet and come up with the best idea to, like, get out of that situation.
Yeah, but once you found out it was fake and they were, that they were just fucking with you, why would you have stayed? I would have
for the money, of course. And, but you see, they purposely chose those two people because they both had extreme weaknesses and they also knew, like, the shit that was going on in their life. So they, that's why they were mad invested in these two people, because they were like, this dude is living a fucking fake life and he's has everything maxed out, whatever. He's to the point where he will do anything to get money. And then this dude over here, he's the sniveling, like, ass kisser that's dying to freaking climb up on top, but he thinks he's better than everybody else, and he hates all these rich people that are around him, even though he wants to be the rich person. And then his wife is like the little farm girl wife who literally, like, runs his life because he can't even make a decision because his whole, like, emotion is kind of, like, thrown off because he has, like, anger management issues. So they chose, like, two people that have, like, crazy fucked up things, and they invested all that time because, you know, we don't really know how long they already had been working for the company before.
Well, at least 3 years, because the
well, one at guy... least 3 years, but I'm saying they could have been there for like 4 years and then they spotted them, or maybe it didn't take them that long to, like, spot them and say, these are the two people that we're gonna fucking invest our time in. Because that one thing, that was pretty intense for the 3 years. Yeah. I feel like a year could have been, like, I don't know, but 3 years, because you have a dude, but it was only one day, though.
But still, well, here, we're going to tell you spoilers, but we're just going to spoil the shit out of this one. The one guy, they keep talking about how he's been spending every Friday night working till midnight for the last 3 years. And eventually it comes out, they're like, nah, he's never been at work until midnight on Friday. And the wife immediately is like, oh, you're cheating on me, blah, blah, blah. No, you find out that 3 years ago, he was coming home from work, he's coming home from work, and he hit someone that was in the road.
He was going to deliver these pills to the boss, because the boss really needed them.
And he hit a guy in the road, and he didn't kill him, but he did, completely cripple him and make him into basically a vegetable. And he's been, like, in a rehab facility for the last 3 years because the firm kind of covered it up. Well, you find out that it was all fake. He never, like, whatever he hit in the road was just a trick. The guy has been faking being in, like, a vegetative state now for 3 years. Every Friday he would come and visit him, and he would just lay there in the bed and just kind of wiggle around and not be responsive and that. So for 3 years they've hired an actor to every Friday play like he's been severely injured. So that takes a lot. Like you said, maybe a year. Like, okay, we're going to get this guy, like, messed up over a year. But for 3 years, they fucked with him before they did anything, you know?
It's it's hardcore. How funny that that guy is named Ted.
Yeah.
His name is Ted. So Ted and Gavin are the ones that are getting the employees that are getting fucked over. And Missy, and of course her name is Missy. Like, your wife's name is Missy, so, and Tatum. They just chose.
Yeah, those are like
Tatum was the farm girl, spoiler alert. You thought it was Missy, but it's not. Missy's the, you know, socialite.
Well, yeah,
the Tatum, fake socialite.
Yeah, Tatum just sounds like a name that would be like, your typical Wisconsin, like, living in the middle of nowhere kind of name.
I did like the ending to this. But not the ending. The reveal of the people that are really behind the high, like the stockholders.
You know, you find out that, like, Julian Sands and his wife, while they were running all these games, there was also people that were making them do it. So you got to wonder, had they been fucked with like this in the past? I don't know. It got very convoluted. I felt like they really went out of their way to try and, you know, show you how evil these people were. But it's like, didn't they have anything better to do with their time than just pick this one guy randomly and fuck with him?
No, because they were old, so they had nothing better to do. They had nothing but time. And, you know, the old dudes, I mean, they were some recognizable. They're all character actors.
Yeah, I recognized the faces of them, but I couldn't tell you what they were in.
Yeah, likewise. I couldn't tell you. I'm like, oh, I've seen this person in, like, that very fancy-ass movie, but I couldn't tell you who the fuck... Who was Bob Bancroft? Like...
Yeah.
I know I've seen him in things, but I don't really know.
So we did a double feature of newer Christmas movies this time around, and we were disappointed by both of them.
Yeah, we were. He was Frank Mann in Parks and Rec. Bob Bancroft.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. But at least we know one thing.
So next time on this, we're going to do a review of all the Black Christmas movies.
Oh, is that what we're doing next time? I guess, yeah. I guess so. Because in this whole conversation, I already chose another movie to do after the Black Christmas. So
yeah, we're going to talk about all the Black Christmas movies. It's going to be Black Christmases. 78,
right?
Not 74.
74.
2006. 2000. And then 2019.
Because, you know, you need... Within the three-year span time, we needed another Black Christmas movie, Blumhouse, because there was no creative thought whatsoever that you could have had to fucking produce or find another holiday movie that wasn't this movie. And I hope that you surprise me, because if it's the fucking what's in the trailer, first of all, editor fired. Just fire that editor. Terrible editor. Secondly, what the fuck? Most uncreative idea ever. Like, why?
I have a feeling this is going to be, you're going to find out later, this is one of those movies that they made it, and then someone said, hey, you know, I bet if we slapped the Black Christmas name on it, we could get a couple of extra tickets this weekend.
Because let me tell you, well, you know what, I'm going to save my discussion about Black Christmas for our Black Christmas episode. What should we're going to have to come with like a fun name for that one. But until then, stay tuned to the horror.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.